Okay, grab a seat, grab a seat, grab a seat, grab a seat. How are you all? Emily, you look amazing. And that little baby just fit. I didn't even realise she was in there until she was announced. And I look over. Ruby is beautiful and Serena's having a girl as well. And Larissa's about to have a child. Have you even... Yeah, she's having a girl as well. So all I'm saying is Harry's got the pick of the 2017 girls at Shire Live. Yeah, come on. Keep raising him up well, women and men. It's really good to be back. And well, we're back, I say we've been around and we never really left, really. We love church. You'll never get rid of us. We love church and we love you. But it is great to be back up and sharing the word with you. And I do want to just mention Pastor Brad and Pastor Ali, our senior pastors, if you're new around here, are actually away in the States on well-earned annual leave. Can you believe that in their 20-year marriage, they have not had 3 consecutive weeks off as a family? So I think this is timely, don't you? And just in case he listens to the podcast to check out everything's legit, can you give him a big cheer? And I give you full permission, church, to spam out their Instagram account and tell them how much you love them, miss them, are happy for them. I love seeing our senior pastors being refreshed, and it's a good thing. Since I spoke here last... we've had a lot happen. We bought and sold a house within literally from the 25th of January. We wrote to our broker and on the 25th of February, we signed for the new house and sold a house in between. It was a real God move. It was not planned. And it just, if you want to hear more about that miracle in our life, I'll encourage anyone's faith because it was a miracle for us and toward us. And it was a real blessing to us. And then we had a baby after we bought a house and then we moved into a house. And it's been a big couple of months and it's been fantastic. We're up for it. But in all of it, I've actually loved my short season of being home full-time with my kids. I'll be home part-time with them. And I was at the end of a particularly crazy day and my newborn baby was asleep and I was sitting with our toddler, Oliver, and I was reading him a book called Harriet, You'll Drive Me Wild by Mem Fox. Many parents know it, and in all truth, it would have been completely apt to substitute said toddler's name into that book title because he was sending me over the edge without a parachute, let's just say. And the book details a small child and in her innocent curiosity and rambunctiousness, she spills juice on the mat and jam on her jeans and paint on the carpet and all of that super familiar. And in a moment of culmination at nap time, which is every parent's favourite time in the day, I can guarantee you. She rips open a feathered down pillow and the room turns into a blizzard of feathers. And Mum, who has remained patient throughout the course of the book, absolutely loses her stuff. And it gets to, I love it, I relate to it. I don't lose my stuff, mind you. So in this utter moment of exasperation, she loses it. But at the end of the book, in the final page, the dust, or rather the feathers, settle. And everything is calm, frayed emotions settle down. And they both laugh together, both Harriet and Mum, and they pick up the pieces and the world is in order. You know, we laugh now, but actually in all truth, in that moment, I found myself gulping back tears as in that very mundane moment in the Mills household, in that very everyday moment, the Holy Spirit started prompting me. And so, like all good mums, I pressed pause and revisited once Harrison and Oliver were in bed that night. And God took my mind's eye back to another moment in Scripture where laughter characterized a moment, where laughter in actually quite a heart-aching circumstance characterized a moment. And it's there this morning that I want to take you to. Would you flip your Bible open to Genesis chapter 18, 1 to 15? The Lord appeared, sorry, I rushed, don't I, but it's on the screen. It will be on, there we go, it's on the screen. Our media team are brilliant and we're grateful for them. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "If I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you've come to your servant." All very typical Middle Eastern hospitality. "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried to the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, because he didn't know how to cook. "Get three seers of the finest." My husband cooked me dinner last night, P.S. He's actually the best cook and he's like, "Babe, you never let me in the kitchen." It's because he gets home too late and the toddler has to eat at 5 o'clock, right? But he is a kick butt cook. A slight pause. Let's get back to the story at hand. "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." And then we jump down to verse 17. "Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. Then he brought some curds and milk and a calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree." "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked. "There, in the tent." Take note of her location. "Then one of them said, 'I will surely return to you about this time next year. And Sarah, your wife, will have a son.'" Now Sarah, other location, was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid. So she lied. Fess up, anyone done that? Just the white one. And said, "I did not laugh." I won't even attempt a Middle Eastern accent. "But he said, 'Yes, you did laugh.'" All right, let's go to Genesis 21, 1 to 7. Fast forward a few chapters. "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, and as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised." Sarah, her name just keeps on getting mentioned. Are you getting the hint here in this text? Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." I love it. And she added, "Who would have said to Abraham and Sarah that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him. His son in his old age. Oh man, she was stoked. This is a weird story, right? It's kind of a quizzical, quirky story. And I actually reckon, and I wish I understood the Hebrew, because I think because of the wordplay in the translation of the English, I think that it would be much quirkier in the Hebrew. So if there's any Hebrew speakers in the house, you can tell me the even more humor in it. But it's probably even fraught with more dramatic tension and irony. Abraham welcomes three guests. It's a theophany. That is a manifestation of God on the earth pre-Jesus. Like, it is God has turned up on their doorstep in the form of these three men. Abraham welcomes them. And the first unusual point in this story is asking where Sarah is. It's kind of rude. And if it wasn't God, it would actually be considered, I believe, prying, because women stayed in tents for personal reasons. Read between the lines. But they're not ordinary strangers. This is God. But the other weird thing is God knows everything. So why the heck is he asking where Sarah is? Well, usually in God's style, God asks questions to draw out conversations, not to get information. You know, just ask Cain and Abel, where is your brother? God knew where his brother was, Adam. Why are you hiding? God knew. God does not ask for information. God asks to draw out a conversation. And the next powerful and unusual point in this story is that it's a reconfirmation of a powerful promise that they had waited 25 years for, and it kind of looked like this baby wasn't going to be born. It was kind of looking pretty dire. But not only does he confirm the promise, he bang hits the stopwatch. It's time, and now, starting at day 365, 364, 363, this baby is coming and the promise is imminent. There is 1 year between now and next, and you are going to be holding that child, and I am setting the stopwatch. It is imminent. The final, and I believe the central part of this really quirky, funny, humorous, tragicomedy part of scripture is that curious attention is drawn to Sarah's response. Her name just keeps getting mentioned in this passage, and curious, like a spotlight, if you like, if it was a drama playing out on a stage, a spotlight is put on the character Sarah and her response, because she's eavesdropping and she hears the promise, and it would make a beautiful stage play if anyone wants to write it. I could set it up for you beautifully. She's listening at the door of the tent, eavesdropping on it, hears the promise and the timing of its fulfillment, and she is alone, by the way, in the tent, and she laughs to herself because she cannot fathom what these guests are saying and how it could actually be. She's postmenopausal. They're 89 and 99, if you go by the year that, you know, the baby's born within 90 and 100, and let's just say their sex life is probably ramping down, to say the least. And that's all I'll say about that. And she's told the time is now. Now. You're holding the baby, and so really do the math. Something's going to happen within the next few months, and there's a whole process of pregnancy you're going to go through. Now, the guest now revealed as the Lord in the narrative, don't call her out to scorn her or embarrass her, right? They actually just reiterate the promise and the character of the one promising. They say, yes, it will happen. It will happen. Because if it is anything too hard for the Lord, a reiteration of his character. And interestingly enough, if you think Sarah's a baddie, it happened for Abraham the chapter before. Exactly the same thing. Laughs because he can't understand how. We've got to have compassion on these people. You would be the same. And God reiterates the promise because we need a reminder. We need to wage war with the promises of God and be reminded of them. And also, God's character is reiterated. Sarah, of course, gets really scared because it's high stakes. This is her heart's desire and it's high stakes. And so she freaks out and lies. And, of course, God is too kind to let that stand. So he calls her out and says, hey, you did laugh because I'm the reader of your heart. Fast forward, and not only is the baby born in that year, not only does the promise come true, but Sarah actually plays on the laughter. So it's not a woman who feels scorned or embarrassed or, oh my gosh, I'd rather hide that episode in my faith journey with God. I was such an idiot. It was more like, actually she's drawing it out and she says, God has brought me laughter. And you know what? Not only that, I'm no longer alone in a tent having a chuckle to myself. Others will laugh with me, not at me. And even the name of the child means laughter, for Isaac means laughter and with laughter. It's this total play on the laughter. So my question to you this morning is, laughter features so strongly in this passage. What is the meaning of it all, and what is God wanting us to do in the light of it? With all this laughter, let me pray for you. God, I pray this morning as your word goes out that it would not return void, but it would do that which it's accomplished to do in the hearts of Shy Live people, God. I pray hearts would soften under your word, God. Hearts would be ignited under your word. Faith would arise in this house this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my first thought I want to propose and bring to you is that laughter locates Sarah as primed for a miracle. Laughter locates Sarah as primed for a miracle. You know, at times this passage has been used to say, look at how faithless she was. She had no faith. And I want to actually refute that. That is a misinterpretation of this scripture, because we take scripture in balance, right? The way that we handle old and new and different parts of the new and different parts of the old together is we hold them in tension and they fill out a picture for us. And it says in Hebrews 11:11, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. She considered him faithful before she got pregnant. She considered him faithful before she held little Isaac in her arms with her grey old hair and, you know, who knows what she looked like. She was beautiful. We do know that from the record of Scripture. But far from being there to show Sarah up as a faithless woman, this drama in Scripture is showing us something about where Sarah is at and where God wants to take her. One chapter earlier, Abraham had his own spot of laughter and at the magnitude and utter wondrousness of what God was actually proposing over this couple. And her laughter is not faithlessness. Her laughter is the laughter of incredulity. She's finding it hard to believe with her natural mind that A equals B normally, and it normally happens at this age, and it hasn't happened for me, and yet I've got this promise. She's trying to do 1 + 1 in her mind, and it is not adding up. And the guests, they call out her laughter, not to scorn her, not to berate her, but to locate her at the end of herself and her own natural ability. And they actually seek to usher her, and we know it's God himself, usher her into the realm of supernatural provision in God, and to move her into trusting God's unfathomable ability, and for her to see a miracle in her own natural human experience. God is moving Sarah from the confinement of her natural place of thinking to the inheritance of a promise that he had over her life, and in fact over a nation. And laughter is a signpost. It is pointing out, hey, this laughter is a beacon pointing out what God is doing. I am taking you, Sarah, from the natural to the supernatural. Sarah, you know what? There's been a time where 1 + 1 = 2. There has been a time in your life where I've allowed you to rely on natural reasoning and faculties. There has been a time when this has been okay, but now I'm transitioning you to locate you in something far greater and beyond your human ability. And Sarah, you are going to have to piggyback onto God and ride with all your life, because this is not going to make sense in the natural. In fact, he locates her and uses it as an opportunity to read her heart, because you remember her location. She's in the tent behind them. How does he know this information? Because he's God, and he reads her heart. And God this morning is reading your heart. He knows where you're at. He knows the contents of your heart. But he is reaffirming the promise in the midst of it. He reads your heart. He reads her heart. But he reaffirms the promise and says, nothing's changed, Sarah. Not only am I confirming the promise, but I'm going to set the stopwatch now, and this thing is imminent. You know what? There is promises over your life, and there has been a time and a season of waiting. And in fact, in this church, there has been things that we have prayed for and longed for, and God has promised. And there are some things where God is setting the stopwatch and saying, it is imminent. It is imminent over your life. It is not for when the kids are grown up. It is not for when you're ready for it. It is not when you feel that your ducks are in a row. It is actually now. Set the stopwatch. It is imminent. But more than that, he reveals his character in it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The sense of that word hard in the Hebrew is anything too amazing? Is anything too wondrous for the Lord? Can he not do what your human limitation could never do? Can he not orchestrate circumstances to experience it in the natural realm, in your human experience, that are far beyond you doing one plus one? In the next year, of course, she carries her miracle, but first she has to shift, because she is actually the womb of the miracle. Abraham is a part of the miracle, and it is through this couple. But Sarah is carrying this promise for 9 months. She is forming this child in her womb, and of course God has to get her ready. God has to change the faith atmosphere around her life. Hey, you can't carry a promise in a land that is barren. If your life is not, God needs to cultivate the faith atmosphere of your life. You need to partner with him and cultivate the faith atmosphere of your life, because if you are to carry a promise that is imminent, you need to get the field ready. Sarah was going to carry this son, and God changed the faith atmosphere. I want to say to you this morning, your laughter and your limitation in the natural is not something that God is scorning this morning. In fact, God is saying, there is actually laughter at the juncture between the end of our natural ability and God's supernatural ability. There is a juncture, there is a crossroads, there is a point of crossover where you get to the end of yourself and you will laugh and go, you know what, I just don't get how this promise happens. And you cross over into something you could never conjure up yourself. There is laughter at the juncture between our natural ability and God's supernatural ability. She laughs at the end of her understanding, and it's the beginning of a laughter and a joy of a miracle birth. She encounters the one who rises above the limitations of nature, and he locates her heart, affirms the promise, and she receives the faith and the strength to conceive a miracle child. You know, just recently, I was chatting to a friend interstate, and I counsel you to be wise about who you get counsel from, particularly around matters of faith, particularly around things to do with the promises of God. Go to people who will speak faith over your life. Go to people that will spur you on in the promises of God. And I was speaking to a friend of mine and having a bit of a Sarah moment. You know what? I believe it, but I don't get the how, right? God has opened up some things and it's all happened, and this is the mix of my life. And my friend, in much more offensive way than I'm going to say to you, basically said to me, if you can relax, chill out, and just be Pastor Christy and mum and wife and friend all at once and relax and let God move through it, then you are going to bring to birth the supernatural provision of God. God is going to make a way for you that is so amazing, and it will manifest in your natural human experience in a way that you never could have imagined. It will look different to others. It's going to look very different, because you're different. We're different, and our God stories is different. But if you can just make space for God, Christy, she said essentially in a much harsher way, it's all going to be just fine. Can I just say this morning, perhaps you're where Sarah is, and God is reminding you of a promise that he called you to, and you're saying, how can this happen? And there is a natural opposition. Maybe even you're laughing, but maybe people are laughing for you. Maybe there are people in your life that are actually laughing and chuckling, going, it can't really happen. Can I just say to you this morning that God will move you from limited thinking, decision-making that's based in past experience rather than a spirit of faith, and containment to the opinions and expectations of others. God is wanting to move you this morning, like Sarah, and prime you for a miracle. Shy Alive, you are primed for a miracle. You are primed for a miracle. The miracle provision of God. I want to move on, and, you know, we've spotlighted Sarah, but there is a player in this story that is much greater and much more amazing in this story, and I want to put the spotlight on him, and I want to say laughter locates God in his power. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought of God as laughing, right? There's a term called anthropomorphism, is where we put human qualities on God and limit God. And, you know, God's smiling, God's laughing, you know, it's poetic, okay? God can do anything he wishes. God is amazing. And we, with our human mind, we bear his image, and we do get a sense of who God is through who we are, but we will not fully understand him until we see him face to face, it says, and we're known as he knows. As he is, yeah, you know, lots of knowing. You know that scripture? I love it, but it's a tongue twister. Can I just say, have you ever thought of God as laughing? The scripture actually makes a lot of it. And in fact, I believe laughter is the sound of heaven, that there is an echo in heaven that is laughter, not of mockery or scorn or the pain of earth, but it is laughter of joy and fulfillment. And I believe God laughs, and from his vantage point, he laughs at all different things. One of the main things scripture says he laughs at is the futility of human control and the seemingly impossible things that humans, you know, won't expect from God, and unbelief. So can I read to you Psalm 37:13? It says, the wicked plot against the righteous. That's you, by the way. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. You are born again. The old is gone. The new has come. And you are the righteousness of Christ. And I don't care if you robbed a bank yesterday and repented and came to Christ and bowed your knee this morning. You are the righteousness of Christ. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. Your day is coming. It will be made right. You know, there is times I watch the news and I shake my head, and my husband says, you know, can you stop polluting your spirit with that garbage? And he is the voice of wisdom in my life so much of the time. And it brings me down. And you know what? And I remember this and go, you know what? It's not over yet. God has not had his day, and God is moving on the earth, and he laughs at the wicked. God's laughter in scripture positions him in a completely different zone and reality to the world that we live in. And it says in Isaiah 55, although it doesn't mention laughter here in verse 8 to 9, but it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You know, so much of the way God operates is just downright humorous and unexpected, I would say. You know, a virgin unmarried woman bears the Savior of the world. It's pretty funny, right? A boy, small loaves and fish, and I've read this story to my toddler. He has names for all his devotions in his book. We've got sick, that's blind Bartimaeus. We've got wake up, that's Jesus in the storm with the disciples. I can go through them all. And he tells us what he wants to be read to that night. I want wake up tonight. And then we say, go to sleep. Probably in much more pain tones after the third glass of water gets asked for. Paul, the killer of the church, gets knocked off a horse and made the prime builder of the church and the most prolific writer of the New Testament. You can't tell me that's not slightly humorous. Something that begins with one man and 12 followers in a very obscure Middle Eastern location turns the known world upside down. Anyone want to chuckle at that? I think that is hilarious, actually. It doesn't have, you do not have to be prominent to be influential, and God will use some of you in seeming obscurity, but you will be key to changing the world. When I think about Myanmar, and yes, I'm going to talk about our trek, but I think about the fact that literally just years ago, and I taught Myanmar and the Democratic Movement and Aung San Suu Kyi to a Year 12 class some years ago, and it was a very different situation to now. In fact, I think there was a satanic assignment against this nation to cut off its destiny in the Lord. And now the doors are wide open in this nation, and we had a highly successful trek last year, and we were a small part, but a significant part of what God is doing in that nation. And in fact, as the doors have become open, it's become very evident that what God did in the underground and the unseen during that military dictatorship in that nation was God having a good laugh at the assignment of Satan to cut off what was destined for this nation. And I just think it's just like God, isn't it? To have a laugh and to turn the situation around, and that people can be plotting and constructing things against someone or something, and God just turns it around. And I guess I'm just bold enough to ask you that as we consider a trek of just over a week, it's 8 days and 7 nights altogether, including the travel and a major city and a major town, I just wonder if maybe God is calling some people here today to go to the juncture of your natural ability and to have a good laugh and then to move into his supernatural ability and say, yes, Lord, send me. You know, maybe you are a young person here and you are saying, God, use me. And God's saying, yep, okay, the Myanmar trek. Sure, you don't have a lot of dollars at the moment and you'll have to reconstruct your roster. But you know what? When Pastor Jared asks you to join the worship team, your answer's yes. Because, get on board. Because just maybe, God wants to take you from the laughter of your natural ability this morning to the laughter of a supernatural birth in a nation. On a practical note, if you are interested in signing up for the trek in Myanmar, it's the 5th of November to the 13th of November this year, and prices are somewhat less expensive this year because we're shrinking it down slightly this year to 8 days. It was much longer last year. And so if you are interested, if you are an intercessor or a prayer, if you are a worship person, if you are a middle-aged or elderly person that wants to bring your life experience, if you are someone who wants to invest in kids ministry, youth ministry, there are so many people here that have valuable things that God would call you to invest into this nation. Can I encourage you, don't sit on it. Don't say no. Don't let your natural, you know, God may say not this year, but don't let your default response be a no. Don't let your default response to the things of God be a no. Be open to the purposes of God. Allow him to speak to you. There's a sign-up desk in the foyer. And if you do want to sign up online, can we bring that up, media team? There's a sign-up website. There we go, www.trekrego.com. And if you just want to talk to someone, there is someone fantastic at the Rego desk in the foyer. You can talk to me. Jared is a fantastic person to talk to because he led the worship team last year and he'll be doing so again this year. And we'll be able to give you some details so you can make a considered decision in prayer with God. Perhaps God is moving you. And you know, it's really fascinating. God and Sarah laugh together at the end. God gets the last laugh. Sarah gets the last laugh with him. I reckon God's going to get the last laugh over Myanmar. They will be standing before the Lord in heaven with us. It's going to be amazing. Finally, and thank you, worship team, if you could come up. Or just our keyboardist, rather. Ollie's just started playing the keyboard. We're going to get him less. He's fascinated. He's just woke up this morning. Keyboard. Keyboard. We're like, no, porridge first. Okay. Got to bribe and corrupt. It's like, if you do this first, we'll do this. Okay, negotiations. The final thought is Sarah's ultimate laughter resembles God's. Sarah's ultimate laughter actually becomes more like God's. You know, it's amazing what a difference a year makes. It is amazing what a difference a year makes. There is such a strong sense that, yes, God is working a divine purpose in the pregnancy and the delivery of Isaac. But I believe as much as Isaac is being formed in Sarah, Sarah's heart is being transformed by the Lord. And there's evidence of this because when God turns up, when this son comes forth, God's tone is not scornful or judgmental. See, I told you so. It is tender to Sarah. He says he is gracious in chapter 21, verse 1. He is gracious to Sarah. It calls her out. It's Sarah. He's gracious to. We know we fill in the blanks and say to Abraham and to the world. Yeah, but it's Sarah who had the trouble in the tent. It's Sarah who laughed at the end of her ability and says God is gracious to Sarah. And as he had said, a reaffirmation of his faithfulness of his promises, and he did for Sarah. Can I just say it's personal? Sure, it's part of a bigger plan. Isaac, you know, is the promised child, and it's a nation through which the Saviour comes from. But it's personal. The fulfillment of promise is personal. Can I just say, when my babies were born, when God brought my husband, sure, it was the fulfillment of the purposes of God, and we are being used in our call, and it is about the kingdom, but it was personal. It mattered to me. He did for Sarah. His loving kindness is personal. And far from embarrassed, it's really interesting. Sarah, if it had been a judgment on her faith levels and all this convoluted stuff, maybe she would have hidden the whole episode at the tent. You know, when we have a really embarrassing moment in life where we feel we let God down or let people down, or that was just a sucky season in my life I'd rather forget or whatever. Such is the transformation in Sarah's heart that she actually continues the theme of laughter, right? She doesn't hide it or back off from it. She actually says, God brought me laughter. She could have said, God brought me a son, and I'd rather not allude to that laughter episode. No, God brought me laughter. I'm going to call it in the face. He fulfilled his promises. He took me from a place of my natural understanding. He joined his supernatural ability in my hands. Don't worry about the music. The anointing is still here. Trust me. We don't need it. You can sing. Jackson's a great singer. You know what? She continues in that theme, brings her laughter, and Isaac's name is a constant reminder. He's laughter. God has brought me laughter. And people will laugh with me. Genesis 21:6, Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. All along, God planned to make a way for Sarah. He was just locating her to bring her to that point. And Sarah's transformation in faith brings her to look more like God. In that place of being transformed from the confinement of natural thinking and natural understanding to relying on and receiving from God's limitless power, she was actually able to laugh like God laughs. She begins to look more like God. She can laugh at the days to come. She draws others into the laughter. You know, so much is on the other side of your faith. Others will laugh with you, not at you, with you, at the goodness of God, at the fulfillment of God's promises in your life. Sarah embodies what's described in Proverbs 31:25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. It's a faith laugh. She can laugh at the days to come. I love the Message paraphrase. She always faces tomorrow with a smile. I love that. She is Psalm 30:11-12. You have turned my mourning into dancing for me. You've taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. You know, she goes from being in the tent alone, laughing incredulously, to holding a child and laughing with joy at God's miraculous provision, shares her laughter with others. She's not alone in a tent anymore, laughing at the impossibility of it. She starts with the laughter of the inconceivable and ends up with the laughter of supernatural provision. You know, she laughs with God, and together, hand in hand with God, they bring to birth a plan that ultimately touches all of humanity. You know, this morning, God is not against you. He's not judging you for your lack of faith. God is not, but he is bringing you to a juncture. He's working on your behalf. He's laughing at your enemies, but he wants to move you from a place of I can't conceive it to a place of trusting in the limitless power of God. So worship team, why don't you come up this morning, and I'm going to pray over our congregation.